Thank you for attending. We're not going to do any singing this time. We'll do that at 4:30. So before we begin, thank you for coming, T. Use this one or that one?
Oh, use that one.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was just recording.
Oh, right, okay. So the reason why I wanted to present this, even though Maharaj explained to me that it's not much of an issue probably for many of you. But it is an issue. And you might confront this issue or you might come across it in your wanderings on the internet or face to face with somebody who has some problem with some of the editing that's been done in Srila Prabhupada's books. So, as always, before I begin, I'd like to offer my obeisance to Srila Prabhupada. Om Jnana Timarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Mena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance. My spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisance unto him and all members of Sri Parampara. So, just a little background before, before I begin. Srila Prabhupada's book, you know, when Srila Prabhupada came to America, one of his main missions was to write and distribute literature, transcendental literature. A great effort, he produced three volumes of the first canto, the entire first canto, on his own in India in the early 60s. In fact, it was, I think, 61 to 64, I think. And once he had those volumes in hand, he felt he had the ammunition that he would come to America and he would be successful. It was very important to have that. And when he came also with unpublished manuscript of the second canto, the Ishopanishad, other things. He had already written, but he hadn't published them. So very quickly, as his movement developed, in 1965, there was no question of any publishing. Finally, when he got to 22nd Avenue in 1966, who did he meet? One of the first devotees? Howard Wheeler became Hayagriva, who was an English professor of English literature in Columbus, Ohio, the university. So, obviously this was Krishna's arrangement and the editing went on, but it was a very difficult affair because Srila Prabhupada, a lot of strange concepts, words, Sanskrit, all kinds of things, so it was difficult at first. So we're going to learn something about that, the history of editing, and the revisions that were made after Prabhupada left the planet in 1977. And we'll discuss some of the controversy. Hopefully this is not going to take an hour, but we'll give it whatever it takes. So the first question is, why do we need to edit Srila Prabhupada's books? Some people think this is the absolute truth coming straight from the mouth of the pure devotee. What's the need of editing? Prabhupada himself saw the need. Prabhupada himself saw the material shortcomings of his English. This is a quote from what we call the Delhi Bhagavatam. This is printed in New Delhi in the early 60s. There was no editing done. Whatever editing was Srila Prabhupada's own. We know that in our honest attempt for presenting this great literature, conveying the transcendental message for reviving God consciousness of the people in general, as a matter of re-spiritualization of the world atmosphere, is fraught with many difficulties. Regard being had to the facts that our capacity of presenting the matter in adequate language, especially a foreign language, will certainly fail, and there may be so many literary discrepancies in spite of our honest attempt to present it in the proper way. So we can see that even in this statement of recognizing some of the difficulties, there's some evidence of difficulty in the English, and it needs some work. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada had Hayagriva Das edit his already published first canto. Put it nicely, Prabhupada told him. And this was the beginning of editing in America of the books. 1966. Now, book production methods necessitated extensive editing and was difficult. This is just some of the difficulties we had. Let me see if I can move this a little closer. We won't cut off anything at the bottom.
I'll be back. That's okay.
For books after the Bhagavatam first canto, Srila Prabhupada typed out some of the manuscripts himself, such as the second canto and parts of the Bhagavad Gita. But mostly he dictated on a dictating machine. This has made it much faster, you know, than Prabhupada typing himself, and then we had to retype and everything. So he speeded everything up. But that required another step. The transcribers had to hear and then type what Prabhupada said. So the early transcribers sometimes couldn't understand Srila Prabhupada's accent. Just like if you start listening to his tapes, sometimes it takes a while to get used to it, right? British is British or Indian usages of Sanskrit quotations, and sometimes he cut off words with the repeated switching of the microphone on and off, you know, because hundreds of times. That's another thing that happened. The intricacies of the philosophy of Krishna consciousness sometimes posed problems for the early editors. Also, there were no competent Sanskrit editors at first. Gradually, Pradyumnadas became expert. But it took time, obviously. So it depends on when the book was produced. Was it produced in 1967 or 1975? By the time 1975 rolled around, it was much smoother. Who were the editors? The main editors were Hayagriva Das and Jayadwaita Das, with Ray Rama and Satsarup Das doing extensive work. These were the original editors. What did they do? They fixed transcription errors, they corrected grammar and punctuation, they revised wordings, reworked sentence structure, deleted redundancies, added text unintentionally missing, supplied chapter and verse references, made all sorts of other corrections. For much more, see this website. Now, you can't just copy it down, but if you're interested in any of this, just write to me. You can easily remember Dravida108, Dravida108 at Gmail. And this is... So, revisions during Prabhupada's time. Because the whole question is, why revise, especially after Prabhupada left. So first we'll look at some of the revisions during Prabhupada's time. In the course of such extensive editing by diverse editors, under sometimes trying conditions, mistakes were made. Therefore, during Srila Prabhupada's time, he ordered that whenever his books were reprinted, these mistakes should be corrected. And here's some example. After reading through a printing of Krishna Consciousness, the Topmost Yoga System, these are the small books. There were a lot of small books that were printed. Some of them are still in circulation. This is one of the main ones. In 1970, and finding many mistakes, Srila Prabhupada wrote to Brahmananda Das, then in charge of ISKCON Press, the forerunner of the BBT. And this is a very important quote, so I've highlighted it. In this way, I have read the book sporadically, here and there, not very minutely. I think it should be gone through once more very carefully, and all the mistakes that are still existing there should be corrected. If the books are printed with spelling mistakes and other mistakes, that will be a discredit for our publication. So please see that editorial work is done very nicely. Now I think I'm safe in extrapolating on this, that if the books appear with not only spelling mistakes but philosophical mistakes or obvious bloopers, it's not just a discredit for a publication, it's also a discredit for the institution and for Srila Prabhupada. So we have a responsibility as editors. I came on the scene a little later, but I became one of the main editors. To make sure that this publication, which is, after all, our main face, these books go out by the millions. Not everybody reads them when they get them in the street, but this is a main way in which people first encounter this movement, that this is as perfect as we can make it. So Prabhupada understood that perfectly well. And after Srila Prabhupada reviewed the first printing of part of the second canto in September of 1972 and found several Sanskrit mistakes, Pradyumna Das, traveling with Prabhupada, wrote this in a letter to Jayadwaita Das. Prabhupada said that if there is one mistake in one book, then you spoil the whole book, murder the whole book. So also, beside the Sanskrit errors, there have been many, many English errors also. So Prabhupada has been emphasizing lately about the great need for making our books free from errors. What's done has been done, Prabhupada said. But now we should try to do two things. Make sure that errors like these won't occur again, and start a listing of past mistakes in each book so that we can correct them when they are reprinted. So this is by way of giving some credibility, some backing from Srila Prabhupada himself for the concept of revising the books when mistakes become obvious and clear. And this is exactly what has been done starting in 1983 with the Bhagavad Gita. So now, who would fix the mistakes? Well, Hayagriva Das and Jayadvaita Das were Prabhupada's most trusted editors, and they both did major revisions during Prabhupada's time. Hayagriva did Easy Journey, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, and Ishopanishad, and Jayadvaita did the first canto, chapters 1 and 2. Now, this is a very important incident that happened in June of 1976, because this gives credibility, authenticity, for revisions, even that Prabhupada didn't review. You'll see what happened. In June of 1976, Jayadvaita Das personally presented to Prabhupada his revisions of the first two chapters of the Bhagavatam, as listed above, and began to read them aloud. Now, here's the scene. The first Rath Yatra in New York is about to take place. Devotees have come from all over the country, all over the world, actually. And it's a very big scene, down Fifth Avenue. 10 years, from 66 to 76, Prabhupada is now triumphant, going to come rolling down Fifth Avenue. Very dramatic. So Jayadvaita Das Brahmachari went with everybody, and he was there with Prabhupada. And this is what happened up in Prabhupada's quarters on the 11th floor of the 55th Street building. So he began reading them aloud to Prabhupada. After hearing the first few verses, Srila Prabhupada interrupted and asked, "So what have you done?" Jayadvaita replied that he had revised the verses to make them closer to what Prabhupada himself had originally said. Srila Prabhupada responded, "What I have said?" He replied, "Yes." His divine grace then said, "Then it is all right." And that was that. The work was approved. Now give me just 2 seconds. I think for this one I'm going to need my pointer. Now, hopefully it will work this time. Seems to be cooperating. So now the significance here, I think I mentioned it in the next slide. Okay, so here's the importance of this event. Some of the revisions Jayadvaita made were on translations that Srila Prabhupada had heard read to him during class. So the format is, and you'll hear, if you listen to Srila Prabhupada's lectures from early days, whether the Gita or Bhagavatam, he would hear the devotees would read the Sanskrit, and they do the regular thing, and then they'd start reading the book. They'd read the translation, and sometimes part of the purport, and Prabhupada would stop and then comment, and go on like that. So this is what happened to some of the translations that Jayadvaita revised. So Prabhupada had already heard them, you see. These translations, edited versions of the originals from the Indian Bhagavatam, sometimes had serious problems. Yet Srila Prabhupada did not stop the class and order that the translations be fixed. Moreover, he later accepted Jayadvaita's revisions of these translations, brought closer to what Prabhupada had originally written, sight unseen. So the point is that when he's hearing the book read to him, he's not listening with an editorial mind, you know? He's certainly not thinking, is that what I said in my transcription? How's he going to remember that for hundreds and hundreds of, you know? But he's just listening, and then he's commenting, you know. But when the editor sits down, compares it to the original transcript, he can see, oh, wait a minute, this was like this, now it's like this, this is a problem. You see? So he accepted them sight unseen. Therefore, the conclusion is, the fact that Srila Prabhupada heard or read a passage in one of his books doesn't mean he would disapprove of its being revised. Nor are revisions that he never read automatically unauthorized. And this comes up very much in the Gita, because the same thing happened with the Bhagavad Gita. Okay, so now let's go on for some examples. So first this point here. Srila Prabhupada's confidence in Jayadvaita Das editing. First of all, it's a very, you know, I'm not touting my own horn. I was just lucky to, you know, I joined at the right time in the right place, and I had the right skills to become an editor. But it's a very confidential service. Because Srila Prabhupada put his life and soul into these books, and he has to trust his editors to convey his message without distorting it, without putting it in their own thing, without cutting anything out, you know. So it's a trusted service. So here's what he had to say about Jayadvaita Das. In June of 1976, again, after the episode recounted earlier concerning revisions to part of the first canto, Srila Prabhupada wrote this in a letter to Radhavallabha Das, the BBT production manager at that time. Concerning the editing of Jai Advaita Prabhu, whatever he does is approved by me. I have confidence in him. He never gave that to any other editor. This confidence of Srila Prabhupada in Jai Advaita Swami's editing, he then took sannyas, which he expressed at other times as well, continued until Prabhupada's final days. Okay. So now, again, Shruti Kirtidas remembers. Here's some more evidence of how Prabhupada would hear his books, or when he would read his books. Whenever Srila Prabhupada read his own books, it seemed as if someone else had written his books, because he didn't read with the mind of an author looking for editing mistakes or grammatical errors. This is from his book, What is the Difficulty? So now let's go on to some examples, I think. So now we're going to review a few of the Bhagavad Gita revisions. Now some of you may or may not know, this has become an issue. You'll see many of the old Gitas circulating, you'll find them. Generally not sold by the BBT. Because devotees think, oh, I want to get the original, it's been spoiled. Well, this whole presentation is to show you how the new one is more as it is, as Prabhupada wanted it to be, than the old one. And this will explain why. So now to keep in mind, we're going to review some of the changes, a few of the many. Keep this in mind. The way the books were produced required extensive editing by, especially in the early days, inexperienced editors, which inevitably resulted in mistakes. Prabhupada wanted his books free of mistakes, and therefore he authorized his editors to make revisions on the reprints. Prabhupada had full confidence in Jai Advaita Das as an editor and accepted his revisions on the first canto of the Bhagavatam, sight unseen. Ordinarily, Prabhupada did not hear or read his books in an editorial mood attuned to catching mistakes. So now we'll have a few practical examples. So here's just some of the many that you say, and I begin with one which to me is the biggest change, the biggest revision. And this is in 926. Now 926, some of you know, Patram Pushpam Palam Toyam Yome Bhaktya Prayachati Tadaham Bhakti Paditam Shnami Payatatmana, the famous Prasadam verse, right? One who offers to me a fruit, a flower, a leaf, or water, with love, I will accept it. So this is the... I'll read, this is from the first paragraph, just part of the first paragraph to the purport, as you now will read it in the Bhagavad Gita. For the intelligent person, it is essential to be in Krishna consciousness, engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, in order to achieve a permanent blissful abode for eternal happiness. The process of achieving such a marvelous result is very easy and can be attempted even by the poorest of the poor, without any kind of qualification. The process is so easy that even a leaf or a little water or fruit can be offered to the Supreme Lord in genuine love, and the Lord will be pleased and accept it. No one, therefore, can be barred from Krishna consciousness because it is so easy and universal. Who is such a fool that he does not want to be Krishna conscious by this simple method and thus attain the highest perfectional life of eternity, bliss, and knowledge? Now, just before I read the last part, this was in the original Gita. The history of the Gita is that it was published in abridged form in 1968. Prabhupada was so eager to get it out. We didn't have the copyright. He had to give it to Macmillan, but they didn't want to take a chance on the 1,000-page book. So they published an abridged version, which Prabhupada wasn't so happy with. But in spite of its being abridged, this was in the purport to that verse. But then when the Macmillan, so-called unabridged, came out, it had somehow been omitted. These powerful words of Srila Prabhupada, part of a whole omitted paragraph at the start of the purport, have been restored. Now just that little part I read, isn't that important, preaching? This is Prabhupada's words. They were somehow left out in Macmillan Gita. So how can we say that this is more as it is? You see what I mean? It's not. So this is the biggest change in the whole Gita, restoring that paragraph. So now some more examples. In 1021, Prabhupada had written, "It appears from this verse that the moon is one of the stars. Therefore, the stars that twinkle in the sky also reflect the light of the sun." The first editor thought this statement unacceptable, so he deleted it along with the rest of the paragraph. The paragraph was restored in 1983. Now, this is a lot to accept. You know, we've always been taught that those are, you know, independent suns out there. Some of them are even separate galaxies, right? If you look at the scientists. Not that those stars are reflecting the light of our sun. But that's what Prabhupada says here. That's what's in the Bhagavatam. And so, but it was too much for Hayagriva. He says, oh, people will never accept that. You know, they've learned in third grade that we have our moon, we're reflecting the sun, and then, so he just X'd it out. You know, but he can't do that. So it was discovered and restored by Jayavaya in 1983. At the end of the introduction, a beautiful introduction to the Gita, seven verses from the Gita Mahatmya that Srila Prabhupada spoke during dictation, which you can still hear, that recording is extant. Those have been restored, and one verse Srila Prabhupada didn't speak has been deleted. In general, dozens and dozens of Sanskrit words, from single words to phrases to whole verses, have been restored in the purports. And we can understand, you know, there's a typist, he just walked off the street, Bhakta Stan or somebody, you know, and he knew how to type. Nobody knew how to type. You know, he's a bunch of hippies, you know. But he had a little bit of education as a type. So, okay, well, can you type up this transcription, you know? So what is he listening to? He can't hear, you know, what Prabhupada is saying. So he's skipping all this stuff. And, but later on, in 83, Gopi Pranadana Babu could read the original that Prabhupada was reading and say, oh, Prabhupada said this, and restored all that, that Prabhupada won in there. It's much more authoritative. Prabhupada, one of those quotes in there. Did you know that the Macmillan Gita didn't have a translation for chapter 8, text 18, but rather two versions of 8:19, and that the purport of 19 was appended to the full 18 translation? The translation for 8:18 has been restored and the purport put right. 9:34, famous, you can chant with me, Man mana baba man bhakto manjaji mam namaskuru mame vaishasi yuk vivam atmanam atparayanaham. Very essential verse repeated in 1865, right? So here's what the translation said says in the Macmillan Gita. Engage your mind always in thinking of me, become my devotee, offer obeisances to me, and worship me. So this is what it's supposed to say. Krishna's essential instruction, become my devotee, isn't there in the translation from the Macmillan Gita. But it is there in the present edition. And the funny thing is, that translation was also taken and put into a lot of other books. You know, those little books that we printed, they would quote this verse, it's so important, and they dutifully, you know, transcribe the translation, missing, I would say, the most important part, become my devotee. So that was put back in there. I think it's a good change. 1854, another very important verse. You can chant with me. Brahmabhuta prasannatma na shochati na kanchati samak sarveshu bhuteshu man bhaktim labhate param. Translation from the Macmillan Gita. One who is thus transcendentally situated at once realizes the supreme Brahman. He never laments nor desires to have anything. But what happened to becomes fully joyful? Prasannatma. How many times did Prabhupada quote this verse just to focus on that point? You can find out by checking the Vedabase or listen to quotes, which is also mentioned in the purport. Now it also appears in the translation of the book. Okay. Garbled transcription sets straight. Right. Some of these actually become humorous. There is 10:29, the famous, you know, there is also a planet of trees presided over by Aryama. Nobody knew anything. Okay, planet of trees, you know. Prabhupada said pit trees, you see? It's a planet of the ancestors. You see the problem? The Bhakta Stan heard trees, the pit trees, you know, trees. Okay, trees. You see the problem? 14:17. From the mode of passion, grief develops. The right word is greed, not grief. Understandable. The Sanskrit word is loba, obviously greed, right? The transcriber heard greed is grief. 10:27. The devotee demigods and the demons, the asuras, once took a sea journey. Nope. Srila Prabhupada said, there was churning of the sea, churning, not journey, churning of the sea, in which the devotee demigods and the asuras took part. You see the problem? The transcriber heard journey for churning, the demigods and demons churned the sea to get nectar. We know that now, right? Everyone knows it. Meaningless words fixed, 13:1-2. You know, chaitra, chaitra, gya, the whole thing. Sometimes we understand that I am happy, I am mad, I am a woman, I am a dog, I am a cat. These are the knowers. You know, Does one person actually think those things, one after another? Then you're really mad. But here's what it's supposed to say. Sometimes we think, single quote, I am happy, close quote. I am a man, not mad, see? I am a man, I am a woman, I am a dog, I am a cat. These are the bodily designations of the knower. Now it makes perfect sense. You see that? Notice the addition of the essential quotation marks in the revision. 2-1. This is the last sentence in the paragraph. This realization is made possible by working with the fruit of being situated in the fixed conception of the real self. No one can explain that. It doesn't mean anything. It's complete gibberish. And it doesn't really belong at all in Prabhupada's books. It should say, this realization is possible when one works without attachment to fruit of results and is situated in the fixed conception of the real self. Now it makes perfect sense, doesn't it? Don't you want everything in Prabhupada's books to make sense? You don't want to have, you know, to run over things like that, especially in Bhagavad Gita. Okay, moving along. Purport restored to the right verse. So follow along this one. This is an important fix. Bhagavad Gita 18:31 to 32. Bhagavad Gita 18:31 describes intelligence in the mode of passion. Krishna is going through describing things in different modes. Intelligence in the mode of passion. Then 18:32 describes intelligence in the mode of ignorance. Srila Prabhupada wrote a purport to 18:32, but not 18:31. Somehow the original editor took the purport to 18:32 and appended it to 18:31. Since Prabhupada's purport described intelligence in ignorance, the original editor substituted passion for ignorance throughout. Not good. Doesn't work. So, the Mamillan Gita 18:31 purport. Intelligence in the mode of passion is always working perversely. It accepts religions which are not actual religions and rejects actual religion. So this is all supposed to be, I'm not going to read it through, the mode of ignorance, as we see here. Intelligence in the mode of ignorance is always working in the opposite way of it should. It accepts religions which are not actual religions and rejects actual religion. If you know the Bhagavad Gita, intelligence in the mode of passion sometimes gets it right, sometimes gets it wrong. But ignorance is always backwards. You know? That's the point here. Men in ignorance understand a great soul to be a common man. And a common man to be a great soul. Isn't it so? They think truth to be untruth and accept untruth as truth. In all activities, they simply take the wrong path. Therefore, their intelligence is in the mode of ignorance. And then I prove this by this. I won't go through this. But here's the original transcript, and it's you can see how it's reflected in the today's version of the 18:32 purport. If you're interested, I can send you this whole PowerPoint. Now, this is the big one. You know, this is the one that gets the devotees so upset. 434. This is the verse about accepting a guru. So you can share with me. Tadvidi pranipatena paripashnena sevaya upadikshantite jnanam jnaninas tattvadarshinaha. So the old edition, Macmillan Gita, just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master, inquire from him submissively, and render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth. So the only change is the self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. Now, this is a big deal because is there just one spiritual master forever? This is the idea, you know, the spiritual master. But it's clear in this, and we'll explain in the Sanskrit, it's plural. The original transcript, now this is important. Just try it. This is what Prabhupada said. Just try to know the truth of all these by approaching self-realized spiritual master with all submission and inquiries and rendering service unto him. Such learned self-realized spiritual master initiates knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. Now you see the mismatch. You got the singular spiritual master with the plural they have seen. So what are you going to do with that? Well, you have to resolve it. In the Macmillan synonyms, Upadikshanti initiate. That's plural. Many, you know, several initiate, right? Te unto you, jnanam knowledge, jnanina, the self-realized, tat for truth, darshina, the seers. These are Prabhupada's original. We didn't change these. Yes, Prabhu. It may be. I'm not sure. But the sense, I mean, this is Prabhupada's original. You know, he put that, so it's correct. They didn't, yeah, I'm not sure of that, but you may be right. So the Sanskrit is plural in the verb initiate. That's a plural verb. and the twofold subject, the self-realized and the seers. Prabhupada's translation mixes singular and plural. Such learned self-realized spiritual master initiates knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. Hayagriva Prabhu went with the singular throughout. He resolved it in that way. It made perfect sense, but violated the Sanskrit and Prabhupada's synonyms, and in the Sanskrit itself. Jayadvaita Swami restored the plural in the last sentence and made it grammatical. Now, he wasn't doing this on his own. He was consulting directly with Gopi Puranadana Prabhu, very expert Sanskrit scholar by that time, and also Garuda Prabhu and Rabindra Sarup were involved in this. So now, just to continue, to conclude, Srila Prabhupada's expanded translation. Now, here's another translation Prabhupada gave, which practically no one has read because this was never published. But here's his expanded translation to 434 in his essay, Interpretations of the Bhagavad Gita, published or written about 1948. It is therefore stated in the Bhagavad Gita that one who actually wants to have an access to the essence of Bhagavad Gita must himself engage in the service of a bona fide spiritual master by full surrender. In that position only, one can make bona fide inquiries regarding the Bhagavad Gita. And in that posture only, the self-realized spiritual masters impregnate the submissive disciple with knowledge of Gita because they have already seen the truth of it, tadvidi paripatena, etc. So there he's giving a straightforward plural. You know, so that's the way it was resolved in the plural, and it's still causing some stir in people. But you can see the reasoning behind it. Okay, revision of books after the Gita. So Jayadvaita Maharaj basically did the Gita in 83. And as time went on, the need was seen for some further of other books. So this is where I come in. Since the revised Bhagavad Gita came out in 1983, I, this is me, have revised other books according to the principles outlined here. These books include the Ishopanishad, the Krishna book, the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and the latest is the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. In addition, minor adjustments have been made to the Nectar of Devotion and the first canto of Bhagavatam. One of the main questions concerned devotees ask is, when will all these changes to Prabhupada Rukh stop or end? This is a perfectly valid concern. And the answer is that I'm going to push for all changes ending with the end of Jayadvaita Swami's and my editing careers. So this is a common question, and it's a valid question, because the very character of the books is that they're meant to be beyond the four defects, right? But here he's saying we keep changing them. And who knows who's going to come along and change this and change that for various reasons. So since Jayadvaita Maharaj has, as we explained, a kind of a unique position, Prabhupada actually gave him credibility. You know, he says, whatever he does, I accept. And he's very conservative on this, believe me. And I'm kind of a clone of Jayadvaita. I learned my editing and I completely pick up his, you know, feel for this thing. And we work together on these things. So practically speaking, we're going to try to go through all the books, whatever changes need to be made. And believe me, they're not extensive anymore. They're very minor. We'll do that, and that'll be the end of it. It'll be locked up. Just like Prabhupada locked up means he froze the second canto. The second canto, sometimes you read it and you think, oh, can't they fix this? But we can only fix, like, obvious grammatical or spelling errors. Because Prabhupada said, no more changes in the second canto. No more changes means no more changes. You know, only some very, very minor things. So that's what's going to happen with all the books. Now, here are some myths that we need to debunk, because these myths, you know, the internet is a fertile ground. So this is, you know, coming out. Quote, while it is not generally known, for 2 years, Srila Prabhupada sat with Hayagriva and patiently transformed his intimate realizations into a level of refined expression onto which he then comfortably placed his name. The resulting literary expression was the wondrous 1972 Bhagavad Gita as it is. Now, it definitely was wondrous. There's no question about it. But to try to, first of all, before I read this, just imagine, the idea is that Prabhupada is going over every word of that Bhagavad Gita with Hayagriva and putting his, and approving it. But we just saw some extremely weird mistakes in that Bhagavad Gita. Is he going to approve the planet of the trees? Is he going to, you know what I'm saying? Is he going to approve the omission of become my devotee from 1834, from 934? You see how absurd that is, and practically, in my mind, offensive to say Prabhupada must have approved it, therefore it can't change. So now, responding to this assertion, but the very idea is absurd that he had that much time to spend on this. Responding to this assertion, Brahmananda Prabhu, the president of Srila Prabhupada's first temple in America, said, it's out of the question. The dates of the letters in the folio database show that during the period when Bhagavad Gita, as it is, was being edited, the total time Hayagriva and Srila Prabhupada were even together in the same city, what to speak of sitting together working, was at most less than 5 months. And again, according to Brahmananda Prabhu, and confirmed by Amapati Maharaj, another early devotee, Hayagriva mainly worked on his own. So that's just a myth. It didn't happen. Now here's another myth. The only books by Srila Prabhupada that are authentic and reliable are the unedited editions. There are no unedited editions. Before being printed, all of Prabhupada's books, published during his lifetime, were edited extensively. The only unedited editions of his books are the works he published before he came to America, such as the original Delhi Bhagavatams, which he gave to Hayagriva to edit, because he knew that they had so many mistakes. Here's another myth. There is no precedent in our sampradaya for posthumous, unapproved changes to an acharya's books. If a devotee needs to clarify a previous acharya's work for the understanding of his contemporaries, he writes a separate tika and appends it to the original work, leaving the previous acharya's commentaries unchanged. This is the accepted practice in the Gaudiya Sampradaya. This is verbatim from a critic on the internet. History shows that the critic is wrong. The 14th chapter of the Bhakti Ratnakara contains four letters written by Sri Jiva Goswami to Srinivasacharya. In the first letter, Jiva writes that he is still proofreading, correcting, the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu of Rupa Goswami, who by then had passed away. So even in these great books of the Acharyas like Rupa Goswami, that Jiva Goswami felt it needs some editing. And he did some after Rupa Goswami was gone. Now here's another myth. Just before the first edition of the Bhagavad Gita as it is was published, Srila Prabhupada and Hayagriva spent many days in Los Angeles in late 1968, carefully going over together the final text for the book. Then this is the response, and it requires more, and so there's, refer you to the bbdedit.com. This is a persistent image. Srila Prabhupada in L.A. in December of 68, working side by side with Hayagriva, carefully putting the finishing touches on Bhagavad Gita as it is. But a careful look at the history shows that this is out of the question. Why? Because even though Hayagriva worked on the Gita manuscript until October of 1967, by November of 1967, he was off the job, and Srila Prabhupada handed over the task of finishing the Gita to another editor, Ramadas, Raymond Marais. When Hayagriva came to Los Angeles in December of 68, that first Gita, the abridged Macmillan edition, had already been published. And work on the next edition, the unabridged, didn't begin until 1970. You see the problem. There was no work on the Gita in 1968. What Hayagriva was editing in December of 68 was the Srimad Bhagavatam. And so the image of Prabhupada sitting with Hayagriva in December of 68, carefully going over every verse of the Bhagavad Gita as it is, seen to the finishing touches, is a persistent image of something that never took place. For more on this, you can see this website. Conclusion. We're almost through. The latest editions are closest to Prabhupada's original words and intended meaning. The argument that the Macmillan Gita presents Prabhupada's original words more faithfully than the 1983 edition is specious. In other words, the argument looks plausible until you actually examine what was done and why. The same holds true for the other revised books, the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Book, Ishopanishad, and Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. The original editors did great service for Srila Prabhupada and the Sankirtan mission. But for various reasons, which we went over, they made mistakes, which Srila Prabhupada wanted fixed on the reprints. And he wanted them fixed by his trusted editors. I will close by again providing Prabhupada's essential instruction to his editors concerning mistakes in his books. In this way, I have read the book sporadically, not very minutely. I think it should be gone through once more very carefully, and all the mistakes that are still existing there should be corrected. If the books are printed with spelling mistakes and other mistakes, that will be a discredit for our publication. So please see that the editorial work is done very nicely. And finally, we close with, for more on the BBT's editorial policy and the book revisions, please read Responsible Publishing, This is included in the Veda base if you have access, and available from me at dravida108@gmail.com in PDF format. And also visit www.bbtedit.com and this other address, which I'll give you also if you write me. And that ends our presentation. Are there any questions or comments on these few points? We took about 40 minutes there. I think that's the end.
Dravida Prabhu.
Yes. Yes, Panchatattva G.
There, these errors, they even come up in Srimad Bhagavatam.
You can turn the lights on. Go ahead, Prabhu.
In Srimad Bhagavatam, and actually much later on in the Bhagavatam, recently I saw a letter to the BBT and ended up being published maybe on bbtedit.com. I'm not sure where I saw it, but it was from an Indian devotee who had been reading in Srimad Bhagavatam, and there was some reference, I think, to like Pinda, you make an offering to your ancestor after he's departed, after he's deceased. Right. But the word used in the Bhagavatam, mistakenly by an editor, was diseased. So for a diseased a diseased person, you offer Pinda.
Yeah. Deceased. It's obviously deceased. But you can easily see how transcriber would mistake.
But someone who understands will see this and say, this isn't right. You know, it reflects poorly on the book if you have this kind of mistake. It should be fixed.
Exactly. And so, this is why there's every day, I get suggestions. A lot of them from Bhakti Vikas Swami, by the way, who, I don't know if he reads it all himself, but he gets not just the books. He's also suggesting changes in the Veda base, in the letters, or in the oftentimes in the conversations or lectures, which of course is not on the same level as the books, because it's understood that those are transcribed and so forth. But still, we try to correct everything that has a serious mistake. But when it's in a book, it's very important. I just found one myself like 10 days ago. Prabhupada in the first canto. Some of you may recall this pastime. Yudhishthira is taking the throne, and with great reluctance. You remember how he was so depressed because all of the bloodshed? Bhishma Dev encouraged him, Krishna encouraged him, so he takes. Then he wants to perform some Ashwamedha sacrifices to atone for the sins. This is where. So he needed some funds because everything was depleted by the war. So there was up north, there was a king, I forget his name now, who had been very wealthy. He got a whole mountain of gold, a whole mountain peak of gold. And so everything was gold, gold, gold. And he would give, the Brahmins all plates and things of gold. They couldn't even carry it. So they would all of it. So they would just discard it. So they knew about that. So he sent, I think, Sahadev and Nakula up there to retrieve some of it so they'd have extra funds. So what happened was in the translation, this is just, English is a weird language. It's very complicated. So Prabhupada, that idea of funds and fund, he said there wasn't enough fund, for the sacrifice. So they had to go to get some more fund. Well, obviously it's funds. It's a whole different word, right? Funds. He said fund. Just like you say, well, there's not enough money. Right? That's a singular. There is not enough money. But you can't say that. If you're going to use funds, you have to use the plural. Yeah. So probably use the singular in several places, but it was only made into plural in some of them. Some of it was left as fun. I said, I wrote to Maharaj. I write everything to Maharaj. I said, Maharaj, this should also be funds, And he said, yes, it should be. So that'll be fixed. It's not like the end of the world, changing Prabhupada's books. We're making it read properly, because that, again, that detracts if you keep reading things like that. That is not. So this is ongoing, but I say it will stop. So therefore, we have a job on our hands between now and when I stop editing, whenever that is, to go through scrutinizingly, getting everybody's suggestions, seeing if there is merit, and getting all of these things fixed up and then, locking up the books. That may happen in 10 years, 5 years, 20 years, I don't know. Any other questions or comments? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Prabhu. Oh, we have the mic. Yes. I'm glad there's some interest because I thought no one would come to this, but
that's
good.
I had two things. One was a comment and the other was a question. First of all, thank you for giving this class yet again. I think I've been, this is the third time I'm listening to this class. I like it every time. And the one thing, comment I would like to make is, we also, my understanding is, even though I may not be editing a book here, but by reading this book, and if I'm in a position to explain this to someone, I also have that same kind of responsibility to understand and present the contents of this book properly. So I'm taking that as an application point for myself from this presentation of yours. So that's one comment I had. And secondly, I wanted to ask, how can we basically request any clarification of a book, like particular verses or something? I myself recall, not very accurately, some verse in Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam, that was obviously wrong. Mm-hmm. And it was a little bit tough for me to see that, wow, this is wrong. But I don't know how I, you know, who do I approach, how do I approach? So I want to...
Just write to me.
Right to
you. I'm the one, yeah. Okay. I mean, you could write to Jayavada Swami, you could, but...
I'll write to you, but...
I'm like the clearinghouse for these things.
Okay.
So that same, you know, difficult to remember email, Dravida108 at Gmail.
Yet again, thank you very much for this class. So,
yeah. Arimo. Anyone else? Yes, Prabhu. And we go to latest 3:30, right? Hopefully. Go ahead.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you very much. The one question I have is sometimes when we read the word-to-word translation and the actual translation, some of the words are missing in the translation, but the word-to-word has those words in there, right? How do we explain that difference?
Yeah, well, this is another question that's related, but it's not the same question. And that is that... How do I put this? When reading Srila Prabhupada's books, we're not going to find the same kind of rigor that we find like in a science book, you know, or even maybe an academic president of the Gita. The Bhagavad Gita was gone over, and a lot of that was adjusted in 1983, where you find words in the verse that don't make it into the translation and like that. But the Bhagavatam has never been gone over with that kind of fine-tooth comb, and it probably won't. Especially you find the in the first canto. You know, these are books that Prabhupada printed himself. So there are, how do I put it? There are different levels of ability or legitimacy for change. For instance, in a book that, you know, Prabhupada dictated, well, you have the understanding, maybe the dictation, maybe the transcriber skipped it, you know, and you can look at it that way. And also, what did Prabhupada say in the purport? A lot of times, if he deals with it in the purport, then we don't worry that, okay, something's missing the translation. You want it to be perfect, but you have to realize, well, there's also something called Arsha Prayog. And this is where the balancing act comes in. Prabhupada gave it to us, you know, this is this Arsha Prayog. Means that when the Acharya makes a mistake, you know, then you don't correct it. You know, this is a way of honoring. But then you have to balance it with this statement. He wants the books free of mistakes. So what do? You know, pulling one way and pulling another way. So it's also a question of what kind of mistake. Like here we saw, 934. Well, if you go back to the original, if I recall, it's possible to look at that translation and say, well, Prabhupada really doesn't say, in so many words, become my devotee. You'd have to pull out of what he said, you know, that those simple words, become my devotee. And so the original editor said, well, this looks just like, you know, what you saw, you know, printed. But that's such an obvious, significant thing that it has to be fixed. I'll give you another example, you know. In the fourth chapter, Krishna is explaining how he appears, right? How and why he appears. So there's a very important verse where he says, Ajopi san, avyayatma, bhutanam isharopi san, prakatim svam adishtaya, sambhavam yatma mayaya. Right? Some of you may know that verse. Although I am unborn, although my body never deteriorates, of the Atma, although I am the Lord of all beings, still I appear, and he doesn't say millennium, millennium after there. Prabhupada brought it in from the next verse, yuge, yuge. But in the translation, well, that's Prabhupada's prerogative. I appear again and again, millennium after millennium, in my original transcendental form. But what wasn't there until a year or two ago was the translation of Atma Maya, by my own energy, by my own, you know. And that's a very important concept, which Prabhupada emphasizes in the purport, and often quotes that verse for that very idea. Unlike us, who definitely don't appear by our own energy, we're forced to appear. Krishna, he's completely, you know, by his own sweet will he appears. So I asked Jayavada Maharaj, shouldn't we put that in, even though it wasn't there in the original transcription, and never made it into the Macmillan Gita, or even in the 83 Gita. And he agreed that that was such an important thing, it should go in. But other omissions or additions, we say, well, this is Prabhupada's prerogative, and the general thing is there, and so forth. So when reading Prabhupada's books, you can't expect that type of rigor. And in the whole thing is, the deference to Prabhupada means that here he is, you know, giving us his life and soul, pouring it out, you know. He wanted it to be as nice as possible, but at the same time, because of the quantity that he was able to produce, normally you would write a book, you know, you give it to the editor gives it back to you, you look at all the changes, this is how books are produced, and after maybe a year, you have a book, right? And Prabhupada in 10 years, he produced like 50 books. How could he do that? By this method. He spoke it, gave it, and then didn't look at it again, trusting the editors. But because of that, you get these discrepancies. So you have to kind of weigh it, you know. But if you do find anything, send it to us. Because maybe that, you know, we should fix it. Now that's what's going on. Yes? Take the mic. No, but okay. I need the mic.
So I was thinking, Prabhu, that I didn't know before you presented that it's such a big deal for devotees to accept an edited version of Prabhupada's books. I was just thinking that when Prabhupada left this planet, he translated and gave purports to a few chapters of Bhagavatam, like until 10th canto, and after that, his disciples took over writing the translation and the purports. So all the devotees accept what has been written by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. So what is the problem or difficulty in accepting the revised version of the books?
Well, I would say that not all the devotees accept. You accept because you're intelligent. But not all the devotees accept because of various reasons. But it's unfortunate. You see, because that's a separate issue, you know, the continuation. But the idea is that it's a big mistake, really, to think that somehow, you know, the Macmillan Gita is more Prabhupada, is more potent than the new one. Because the new one is actually, you know, more old. I mean, it's more authentic in the sense of reflecting what Prabhupada wanted to be in the book. And so, really, it boils down, to be honest, to a point of trust. It's a point of trust. The history of ISKCON, which I won't get into, you know, there was various things that happened in the 80s that caused a lot of devotees to be disappointed in the society. Let's put it that way, you know. And so, because, you know, you have this hierarchical organization, you have the GBC and all these things, the BBT is lumped in with that. The BBT, GBC, you know, these are the guys, you know, sitting at the top of the mountain, and they're, you know, and like that. So they're all tainted with the problem. But it doesn't work like that. We're completely independent, even legally, the BBT. And our mission has nothing to do with politics or, you know, actually, Prabhupada set up the BBT in such a way that if ISKCON were to cease to exist, the books could still be printed. It's a wholly legally separate thing. You know, because the books are like the foundation, because then the movement could start over again as long as some books, you know. So anyway, that's not going to happen. But you see the difference there? The importance. So it's unfortunate, but this is the way, you know, that there's a small group of devotees. I don't think in foreign languages, I don't think it can happen. Someone actually carefully translating Macmillan Gita into French and with all those mistakes, you know. I said, this is it, this is it. It's only the, you know, it has the cachet. The old picture is a big thing, and the feel of it, and the old, you know, as we learned it, you know. Yes, Mataji? Go ahead.
Hare Krishna, I think it's just like, also comment, which is, actually it's such a great work of editing. I have this like story, my story, like, we became devotees in Russia, Kazakhstan, and the
what
first...
What year? What year?
1991. Mm-hmm. And the first Russian Gita was translated by, I think it was in Sweden, by a lady who was not Russian. It just like, it was an urge to translate, and maybe Harikesha Swami found this lady and she translated. So, but when we got these books, it was so exciting. And somehow I gave this book to my mother, and my mother is an editor in Russian for many years. And when she read this Bhagavad Gita, she found many mistakes. And she said, I cannot read this book. It's not like, she didn't accept the knowledge because for her, like, if there is a mistake in spelling, it's just not correct. And she didn't, she stopped even looking at it
so
at
this
point.
This is a testament to how important editing is.
It is very important because every intelligent person, and they are proud of their knowledge, so they feel like it was her position. Mm. She thought that if this doesn't meet like what she knows, it's not
but
like
but since then, they've got another translation.
Yeah, this is a wonderful translation by Bhaktivedanta Maharaj. But you know, like, even this first book, we even didn't notice those mistakes. We were looking into like knowledge, but right. People who are not like with this concern and they're educated, they would see it right away and they
the
would
culture,
start.
Culture
like,
people,
yeah, that would happen. Yeah.
Thank you for that. And just on that note, I think we should probably end because I got another thing at 4:30 and I may faint on that one if you don't let me do that. And that is that Garuda Prabhu, who was also involved in the revision, he teaches the course. He's a certified, you know, tenured professor of religion in Virginia or something like that. And he uses the Bhagavad Gita. And he says he feels confident in presenting this edited Gita, you know, to his class and to professors because, you know, it's been fixed up. Whereas he couldn't do that with Macmillan Gita, you know, in the circles. And it's just not the same anymore. I mean, back in 1972, you know, no one knew anything. So, you know, the Gita was you know, a new book. But now, it's a different world. It's 40 years later, more than 40 years. And there's many Gitas out there. People are, you know, reading. There's courses in college where, you know, where people studying even Gaudiya Vaishnavism, what to speak of, you know, Hindi or Hindu religion. And so we have to be much more circumspect and precise in our presentation. Can I go? Okay. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. See you at 4:30.